Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday. On Tuesday night, President Donald Trump delivered his first State of the Union address to a joint session of Congress. Outside of the Washington, D.C. bubble, there was a nation listening as well. And today we want to give you the chance to speak. Tell us about the state of your union.
My name is Billy Taylor, and I'm calling from Greenville, South Carolina.
This is Kelly from Wayzata.
My name's Andrea, and I'm calling from Portland, Oregon.
This is Nancy from Silverdale, Pennsylvania.
This is Laura calling from Peoria, Illinois.
The state of my union
is looking pretty bleak.
It's better than ever.
Afraid.
As one of a renewed spirit to speak truth to power.
This is Evelyn from Pensauken. The state of my union is demanding. Demanding and getting me to be a more engaged and active citizen. I watch and read news from several and different sources, purposely including a few that I don't agree with.
It's Kevin Loney. Very optimistic. Customers are ecstatic. They're buying stuff. We're making money. And I'm very proud that we're finally standing up for America.
Your voices from all across America on the state of your union. I'm joined now by Jean Guerrero, Fronteras reporter with KPBS in San Diego, California. Hi, Jean.
Hi, great to be here.
Also here is Adrian Ma, who covers business and the economy for WCPN Live Idea Stream in Cleveland, Ohio. Adrian, hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And back with us, Michael Pope, reporter for Virginia Public Radio. Michael, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Jean Guerrero from KPBS in San Diego, I want to start with you. And let's talk about immigration, because the president spent quite a bit of space in his speech on immigration last night.
Tonight, I am calling on Congress to finally close the deadly loopholes that have allowed MS-13 and other criminal gangs to break into our country. We have proposed new legislation that will fix our immigration laws and support our ICE and Border Patrol agents. These are great people. These are great, great people that works so hard in the midst of such danger.
Gene, Congress is going to see if they can find a deal on DACA recipients, the border wall, border security, things like that. But the specter of MS-13, the president spent a lot of time last night, as he did in the campaign, presenting undocumented immigrants as a direct threat to the health and safety of Americans. How does it play where you're from?
So a lot of the people who I spoke with after the State of the Union were talking about how, while the speech was very temperate in tone overall in regards to immigration, they really didn't get the sense that that was the case because of what you're talking about, these repeated mentions of MS-13, which in the eyes of many people at the border sort of equate illegal immigration with criminality, with gang violence. So there was the sense that while the president did reiterate his commitment to the Dreamers, to finding a pathway for citizenship for 1.8 million of these people who came here when they were young, that overall the tone of the speech when it came to immigration was still rather divisive, specifically having the family whose daughters were victims of MS-13. People were pretty upset and alarmed at the fear that that might cause in a lot of people who were watching the State of the Union and just creating greater alarm when it comes to illegal immigration.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about immigration and potentially a coming deal. Adrian Mott, let me turn to you from WCPN in Cleveland, Ohio, ground zero of the economy. The president last night touting his tax cuts and the strength of the American economy. Listen.
The great news for Americans, 401k, retirement pension, and college savings accounts have gone through the roof. And just as I promised the American people from this podium 11 months ago, we enacted the biggest tax cuts and reforms in American history.
Adrian, are the Americans who live in and around Cleveland and there in Ohio feeling all the juice in the economy that the president was talking about?
Well, first of all, that statement about this being the largest tax cut in American history, it's just not true. I've talked to tax preparers who are sort of trying to make sense of the new overhaul, and they said, yeah, this is big, but it doesn't compare to the tax cuts that were made during the Reagan era. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that to a certain extent, yes, some people in Ohio are starting to feel a little bit of trickle. There's a company, Fifth Third Bank, in Cincinnati, is one of those companies that came out after the tax cuts passed and said they were going to start issuing bonuses and raises to some employees. Overall, I think businesses are happy that their rates will come down. That goes for corporations and smaller pass-through companies. But I'm also told that small businesses are still trying to make sense of what the new tax code makes for them. So small businesses still digesting the cuts, but at least tax preparers will have a lot more work for them.
And Adrian, listen to the president here talking about one of his favorite topics when it comes to the economy, the stock market.
Small business confidence is at an all-time high. The stock market has smashed one record after another, gaining $8 trillion and more in value in just this short period of time.
Record stocks on Wall Street, Adrian Mata. Do middle-class workers in Canton, Ohio or Cleveland celebrate that?
Well, he's right that the stock market has been hitting new highs. And even though the stock market is not the economy, he's also correct that the economy has added more jobs since he got into office. And he kind of made a point of saying that 200,000 new manufacturing jobs have also been added. And that is sort of being felt in our state. Manufacturing jobs have ticked up about 1.5% over the past year. I will object to one thing he said. He said that there's sort of a surge in auto employment. Auto parts manufacturing is a huge thing in our state. We're not seeing a surge in auto employment. The numbers don't bear that out. And at least one analyst I spoke to is actually predicting a slowdown in auto sales, which could have a negative impact on that industry.
Well, Michael Pope, you have your ear to the ground, as you always do there in Virginia. But this time on healthcare, premiums are on the way up in Virginia. They're on the way up in every healthcare market across America and have been for decades. Listen to the president celebrating the one piece of Affordable Care Act repeal that Congress did manage, the individual mandate.
We eliminated an especially cruel tax that fell mostly on Americans making less than $50,000 a year, forcing them to pay tremendous penalties simply because they couldn't afford government-ordered health plans. We repealed the core of the disastrous Obamacare. The individual mandate is now gone. Thank
you. Michael Pope, in purple Virginia, are Virginians in the Commonwealth celebrating the end of the individual mandate?
Well, some of them are and some of them are not. You know, perhaps unsurprisingly, the reaction to the Affordable Care Act part of the speech was kind of partisan. You know, Republicans were cheering it. Democrats obviously are unhappy with what they consider the sabotaging of the Affordable Care Act. You heard Elizabeth Guzman actually directly talk about this in the Spanish language response to the State of the Union last night. Now, she's a newly elected member of the House of Delegates here in Richmond, and she was elected on the platform of expanding Medicaid. So despite the fact that President Trump has repealed the individual mandate, he's cut off the cost-sharing reductions, it really is, you know, from the perspective of the Democrats sabotaging the Affordable Care Act. Despite all this, lawmakers here in Richmond are poised to expand Medicaid to 400,000 people who currently live in poverty or with disabilities.
It's an interesting perspective from Richmond. Every time the private part of the Affordable Care Act gets attacked, and it does in many places, you see in state after state, in many states, people turning around to expand the Medicaid provision. It's remarkable, Michael, that in a lot of ways, Medicaid itself quietly has won this debate within Obamacare. A lot of people haven't noticed, but it is remarkable. Gene Guerrero, I want to return to you on the question of immigration because the president gave so much attention to it last night. There is potentially a deal in the works. Nobody knows if one's going to be achieved. But as I mentioned, a fix for DACA has to come by March. The president wants money for his wall. The president wants money for border security. And the president wants a crackdown on family migration, what he and conservatives call chain migration. But I want to play you one statement from the president's remarks on immigration last night, even after he talked about providing a pathway to citizenship for 1.8 million undocumented immigrants. Listen.
My duty and the sacred duty of every elected official in this chamber is to defend Americans, to protect their safety, their families, their communities, and their right to the American dream. Because Americans are dreamers too.
Gene, Americans are dreamers too. And if you were watching social media after that remark, a lot of people took that as sort of a version of all lives matter in the wake of a protest, that all people are dreamers, not just the dreamers. How do people in your area take that?
Right, exactly. So a lot of the dreamers who I spoke with took offense with that comment precisely because it made it seem as though dreamers are not Americans. I mean, if Americans are dreamers too, then the dreamers are coming away with it with the interpretation that they themselves are not considered Americans. So they, again, a lot of the people who were listening to his remarks on immigration felt that they were very divisive. Although one of the subjects that is kind of like the most divisive is the wall, because of the fact that the failure in Congress to come up with an agreement so far to protect the Dreamers is basically because of the strong disagreement on the border wall and the funding for the border wall. So a lot of people were hoping that potentially he would kind of scale back his demands for that wall, but he once again was saying that he wants a great wall along the southern border, that it's essential for securing the border, and that was definitely a concern among a lot of the people who I spoke with here along the border.
Perhaps a reassurance to the president's conservative base that he's still with them, even as Congress might pursue a deal on immigration. After the State of the Union, voices from all across the country, Gene Guerrero, Adrian Ma, Michael Pope from California, from Ohio, and from the Commonwealth of Virginia. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
And we're hearing from you. What's the state of your union?
Hi, my name is Ari. I'm calling from Miami, Florida. The state of the union is great right now. I'm very happy because I voted for Trump because of his Israel outlook and policy and his Middle East policy. And I think he's done a great job with that and has come through with the promises.
This is Marla Platt from Sudbury, Massachusetts. My union feels like it has become morally unmoored. That's because our federal legislators have lost their way, emphasizing party before people, losing track of what creates a fair and open society that allows opportunity and development for all law-abiding people within its borders.
This is Kelly from Wayzata. In the state of my union right now, we're up in the air, fearful, very uncertain, also angry at the treatment of our dreamers.
Hi, my name is Billy Taylor, and I'm calling from Greenville, South Carolina. The state of my union is one of a renewed spirit to speak truth to power, to hold elected officials and crooked cops accountable.
Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Babbel, a language app that teaches real-life conversations in a new language like Spanish, French, and German. Babbel's 10 to 15-minute lessons are available in the App Store or online at Babbel, Babbel.com. And Staples, offering storage solutions for business, including file folders, banker's boxes, and storage bins for getting organized. More at Staples stores or Staples.com. Staples, it's pro time.